The man known as the Golden State Killer, a suburban rapist who terrorized California after a series of rapes in the 70s and 80s, is in court today pleading guilty to 13 murders and 13 kidnapping-related charges. Joseph James DeAngelo was arrested in 2018, decades after the crimes were committed, when DNA matches from family members led investigators to him. For more on the case, we turn to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline and talk with law professor Robert Weisberg, director of the Stanford Criminal Justice Center. Professor, thanks for being with us. So let's start by talking about the role that DNA played in this case. Pretty fascinating case in terms of how that DNA technology was applied all that time after the fact.
Yes, it is, and not just DNA in the usual sense, but the very complicated role of, familial genetic testing, because it involved getting to DeAngelo through samplings of relatives. It's a very innovative and, frankly, controversial area of Fourth Amendment law, as a matter of fact. Obviously, DeAngelo isn't challenging the evidence. He isn't claiming that there's a Fourth Amendment violation or his violation of privacy. But this new method of familial DNA testing is independent of DeAngelo getting a lot of national scrutiny. The DeAngelo case just gave it a lot of attention.
So what are the dangers of it?
Well, the dangers are that they will these techniques will actually expose information about a lot of innocent people, or at least people who are not immediately the target of any investigation. So it becomes a kind of massive form of genetic surveillance, if you will. And is likely, I think, in the future to be subject to a fair amount of statutory regulation, because the power of it to implicate people, either by getting information about people where there's no probable cause to believe they've committed crimes, or simply getting very, very private information, even if it isn't about crimes at all, and also the stigma of people getting associated with horrendous criminals, even though it's just a genetic accident that they are.
Professor, can you think of another case in which the crimes were so heinous that did not involve the death penalty in a plea agreement?
Plea agreements happen sometimes in death penalty cases, and it makes sense from the view of the prosecutor if the defendant is obviously thereby saving the state the costs of a trial. The sacrifice, of course, is the vindication of the death penalty law, and of course, very often the victim survivors have a great interest in that. But you've got to put this case in a very specific California contemporary context. It's very unlikely that DeAngelo would ever be executed, even if he were sentenced to death. First of all, of course, we know that nobody's going to get executed in California as long as Gavin Newsom is governor. He has said that, although that's almost a moot point because assuming he's governor, let's say, for 8 years, DeAngelo would never get to execution within that period of time. The appeals take much, much too long. There's also just the fact that the general mood of California has tilted against the death penalty, and it's quite possible that nobody for the foreseeable future is going to be sentenced to death. So in that sense, a death sentence would have been symbolic. It would not lead to execution. He's likely to die of natural causes long before the issue would ever get resolved in the appellate courts.
Do you think the coronavirus pandemic played any role in how this case played out?
Oh, I think that's a very good point, because the irony here is that the very heinousness of his crime, which would seem to make it the ideal case, if you will, for the death penalty, for those who favor the death penalty, also makes it a very, very difficult case in the sense that this would be an incredibly complicated trial with lots of prosecutors involved. Huge numbers of witnesses. The jury selection itself could take forever. This could be the longest death penalty trial ever, except it would have to happen at a time when we're not having trials in California, when we're at best having occasional remote hearings and almost no jury trials. So the idea of even doing the jury selection or getting potential jurors into a courtroom together, something which could take months and months under normal circumstances, seems almost impossible here. So in that sense, DeAngelo, for whatever his motive is doing the state a great favor by just caving and conceding that he will just spend the rest of his natural life in prison.
Professor, we sure do appreciate your time. Again, that's law professor Robert Weisberg, director of the Stanford Criminal Justice Center.